Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 31st, the last day of August. Where did the summer go? I'll bet this summer, maybe when you were at the park or at the farmer's market or at the beach, you have been privy to someone else's loud conversation on a cell phone. It happens all the time, doesn't it? I was at the store the other day, and a woman was looking over various items on the shelf and going on and on and on about her plans that night with whomever she was talking to. It was not a short conversation. At a yoga class earlier this summer, someone's cell phone went off with an annoying, very loud ringtone when the class was in the ending relaxation phase. A notice has since gone up on the door of the yoga studio reminding all of us to turn off our cell phones when entering class. I have coworkers who will go nameless right now who always, constantly have their MP3 player earphones plugged in their ears. My teenage niece is constantly checking her cell phone for text messages when we are just about anywhere. How about the boss checking his own BlackBerry during a meeting during your presentation? How about when your husband does this at the dinner party? Is this evidence of a decline in manners? Is this evidence that high-tech gadgets are making us a ruder society? Or is this just the norm? Get over it. How is this affecting you? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour is Lou Friedland, a professor of journalism and mass communication and affiliated with the Department of Sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is also the director of the Center for Communication and Democracy. Professor Friedland was quoted in a recent article posted on CNN.com that we noticed. It was on high-tech manners and how public places are being affected by a lack of high-tech manners. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Did you actually research this trend, people who yak away on their cell phones in public?
No, I have to be very clear about that. I'm a observer of public space. I research how public space is used, and I've just been noticing, like many other people, over the past few years, how pervasive cell phones have become. And so I've just started keeping my own set of notes, but I haven't done formal research in this area.
Yeah, but according to all sorts of polls done by like Pew Research and others, this is something that a lot of people are irritated by and notice all the time.
I think that there's no way of avoiding noticing, as you were talking about in the introduction, how ubiquitous cell phones have become in public places and how bluntly, incredibly rudely they're used much of the time by people of all ages.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could just ignore the woman in the supermarket, but unless I want to get to that box of oatmeal that she's standing in front of.
Right. Hmm. I mean, you can ignore people, but actually there are often times that you can't ignore people. That's not an option. My interest in this issue began riding the Badger bus between Madison and Milwaukee, where I live, and I noticed about 7 years ago that occasionally, rarely but occasionally, somebody would be talking on their cell phone in a bus of 60 plus people and start to act as if they were literally the only person in that room and talk about things ranging from constant announcements about where the bus was at that particular point in time to their friend on the phone, to some very intimate details that I'm pretty sure no one else on the bus actually wanted to know about. And I got interested in it that way. I got annoyed, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
It started to annoy me, and I would actually ask people if they would mind speaking softly and sharing whatever they had to say with just the person on the other end. And initially people would say, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was talking so loud. And over each year it got more and more people were using the phone, more and more people were having more intimate conversations, and also more and more people would begin to look at you as if you were actually very strange just for asking them to hold their cell phone conversations down. I didn't ask people to hang up particularly. I just said, could you just talk a little bit more quietly?
Mm-hmm.
And it started to become clear that the social norm was changing very, very rapidly. And what was once very recently considered polite behavior had basically flipped altogether in about 5-year period.
Yeah, and now it is pretty much the norm, isn't it?
It is the norm. Mm-hmm. It is the norm. I actually have given up.
Mm-hmm.
other than when somebody's being extraordinarily loud and extraordinarily rude. But I think it's become the social norm now to have a very loud, sometimes very intimate, sometimes conversation in a public space. Regardless of where you are.
Yeah, what, I mean, what, just people don't realize they're doing it, or why do you think this is?
I've actually thought about that and have even asked people. I've started interviewing people just very informally to try to find out, gather their experiences, both sometimes of users, but mostly of the people at the other end of the line. And I think that it really does come down to the fact that people develop a sense that they actually are alone. I mean, talking on the phone is still a fairly intimate
mm-hmm.
Process, right? It's a one-on-one conversation between you and somebody that you're engaged with, as oftentimes a friend, and you have the feeling of intimacy, and in fact, it can be quite an intimate experience. So I think that in fact people feel as if they are in fact still walled off from the world when they're having a phone conversation,
mm-hmm.
and literally lose their sense of public boundaries.
We are talking about how bad manners using high technology is making some people short circuit, and we are welcoming your experiences with this, your views on whether this matters or not, and if it does, what you think ought to be done about it to get people to stop talking on their cell phones in public places. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email. We're High Tech Here, talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, August the 31st. Coming up on Monday, Labor Day at this hour, Mad Dog and Merrill will help us with the Labor Day cookout. I hope you will get up early and join us after 6 o'clock on Monday, Labor Day. We'll also on Labor Day do our regular feature after 8 o'clock and welcome in the AFL-CIO's David Newby to talk about labor issues and issues affecting working people after 8 o'clock on Labor Day. Right now, we're talking with Lou Friedland, professor of journalism and mass communication, also affiliated with the Department of Sociology at UW-Madison, about new technology and manners and how bad manners involving cell phones and other high-tech gadgets is deteriorating the quality of life. Or is it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Maybe you have a story to tell, an example of either a breach of cell phone etiquette or iPods or Blackberries or something along those lines. Do you think this high technology is making us a ruder society? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let's go to the phones. Dawn in Onalaska has a story to tell. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
You touched on one of my biggest pet peeves with cell phones. And to me, when you are engaged in a conversation with someone and they allow that to be interrupted with a cell phone or a call from somebody else, they just told you that you're not the most important person that they need to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
No, and so you're talking to a friend, the cell phone rings, the friend answers the cell phone and puts you on hold.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. In fact, in my sister is actually one of the worst offenders. I can actually call her on her home landline, and she'll take a cell phone call. And I think people have got so accessible that they're so dependent on someone else talking to them that they're either engaged in two different activities or they don't feel like they're doing anything.
Yeah. Do you, Dawn, ever tell your sister, hey, I'm here, stop it?
Oh, I've hung up on her a couple times because I'm like, I refuse to share a conversation. And like I said, to me, that tells me right then and there that I am not the most important person that they're talking to at that time. So if I don't have that, rapport from them, I'm not going to sit there and wait. But, no, we're entirely too dependent on it. People are feel like they're linked. I mean, I've had friends that are sitting there constantly looking to see if they have text messages, and I just want to say, you know, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here, but I would like to have 100% of you or none of you because it's too distracting.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Professor Friedland?
Oh, I mean, I think that's exactly the kind of experience that more and more people are going through, in some cases dozens of times a day, and I think the callers perfectly described the feeling that a lot of people have now. There's one of the phrases that gets used to describe this is a professor named James Katz called it perpetual contact. And we are living now in a society where at least 33% of people have mobile phones. I think it's actually higher than that, but that's one of the latest figures. And essentially, people who have them do use them as a form of perpetual contact. And so, you know, human beings are animals who check their status when they're in a group, right? I mean, this is a pretty standard kind of behavior. If you go to a party, you walk around and you see, well, who's here that I know? Who's here that knows me? Well, what the cell phone allows you to do is to be checking your status constantly. So, in a way, you're on the phone, you get another call, and it's not just another signal coming in. It's also a way to say, is this a call I should take? Is it more important for me to be talking to the person who's calling me than the person I'm talking to now? And people are actually making those kinds of decisions. And of course, the person at the other end of the line, the original caller, can feel pretty left out. I mean, I think many of us have had that experience of feeling, I'm talking to, for example, my son, and I think there's a big generational divide here, who doesn't think twice about literally cutting off mid-sentence and picking up his cell phone in the middle of a conversation.
Right,
I tell him, I think this is incredibly rude. You shouldn't be doing it to me, but you probably shouldn't be doing it to other people. And he actually looks at me like I'm, insane.
Yeah, and I was picking on my niece, though I know her mother, my sister, has told her, put that away. When, text messaging people, checking for text messages when, we're sitting around the dinner table or something else. Young people today, it's like they can't live without this technology.
There's a marvelous new young scholar at the University of Wisconsin named Lee Humphreys who just finished her PhD on this very subject, and it'll be a book, I hope, soon, and it's going to be a very good one. And she actually spent, unlike myself, several years systematically observing people in public and pay special attention to young people as well, and found that this is like essentially a new way of managing friendship, a new way of managing social networks and of being constantly in touch with your social network. So it's not just a question of, is my friend calling me? Should I take the call? But actively trying to kind of visualize using text messages or cell phone calls who in your social network is where at almost any given moment. So it's almost like a kind of mobile GPS for a pack, if you want to think of it that
interesting,
way.
Interesting. Let's go to Christina in Oshkosh next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. If anybody's noticed, it seems to be that the last couple generations have been more of a me generation, not so much of a we generation, as it seems as society in general has been getting ruder as we go. And I don't think cell phones are so much the cause of this as just another expression of that particular rudeness that seems it's developing in selfishness.
Yeah. So which came first, the rudeness or the cell phone, Professor Friedland?
That's a really good mm-hmm. observation. We tend to point to the technology and say, aha, the technology is making us ruder. And, of course, the caller is absolutely right. It's the social norms have to break down before we can act rudely in public without being seen as behaving badly or even strangely. But I'll give you an example. I've been informally polling service workers for at least about a year now, just saying, do you bank tellers and people at Starbucks or coffee, people who serve coffee and so on, and I ask them, are you ever standing in line here where somebody comes up with a cell phone and basically ignores you altogether? And I'm getting a figure of about 1 in every 10 customers. Oh. It's a very non-scientific mm-hmm. poll. I want to be really clear, mm-hmm. but it's a figure that comes up not infrequently. So just as a very rough rule of thumb, I mean, 5 years ago, if you stood there in line and you faced a bank teller, and you didn't even look at them, and you didn't talk to them at all, and you had a conversation with someone else altogether, it would just be so obviously rude that you wouldn't or couldn't do it. But the cell phone makes that possible. So which is causing which? I think each is driving the other.
Yeah. You know, I've been seeing more and more signs lately at the doctor's office, even at my where I go to get my hair done, where signs like, please turn off your cell phone so we can serve you better. So it's,
absolutely. Yeah. My dentist has one of those. I was so surprised. I said, do people actually take calls while they're having their teeth worked on? He said, yes. I had a guy who was in the middle of getting a filling done, and his cell phone rang, and he took it out and just started talking.
It was very important at that time.
Very important.
Dennis and Sister Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I think certainly a related, not so much peripheral issue with regard to etiquette is endangerment, which has led some municipalities to pass laws against the use of cell phones, namely Chicago. I was witness to something that, in retrospect, seems rather humorous, but at the time it happened, it scared the bejeebers out of my wife and myself. We pulled up to a toll booth in Chicago area, 294 to be precise. A woman ahead of us was on the cell phone as she entered the toll booth area. I should say she was in an automated area, not attended by an attendant. And it appeared that she didn't have the necessary change. She all the while was on the phone, and when she realized she didn't have the change to get through to open the gate, she began to lay on her horn. Fortunately, there was enough space behind me where I could back up, which allowed her to egress that particular lane. She then proceeded to drive over about a foot to a foot and a half concrete barrier to get into the adjacent lane, which is the open road tolling lane.
Wait, Dennis, I'm so sorry. I don't have time for you to finish the story because here's news from NPR. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, August the 31st. Good to have you along on the Ideas Network as we talk about high-tech manners, or lack of them, with so many people these days talking loudly on their cell phones in public or text messaging people or checking their BlackBerries in mid-conversation with you. Are we becoming a ruder society? What is this doing to our culture? We're talking with our guest and with you, looking for your views, your theories, your observations of this kind of behavior. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And maybe whether there's anything we can do about this, or do we just have to accept this now as the norm? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. A poll by Pew Research found that 81% of us were irritated at least a occasionally by loud and annoying cell phone calls in public places. About 1 in 10 admitted that we were the object of this criticism or stares because of our own cell phone use. Has this happened to you? And the poll also revealed about a quarter of respondents felt the need to answer their cell phone, even if it was interrupting a meal or a meeting. Where are your high-tech manners? That was an article posted recently on CNN.com that quoted our guest, Lou Friedland, a communications professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's actually a professor of journalism and mass communication and affiliated with the Department of Sociology at UW-Madison. He also directs the Center for Communication and Democracy. We heard from a caller just before news time, Dennis and Sister Bay. And Dennis, I apologize for rudely interrupting you to go to the news. He was telling a story about a woman in her car on her cell phone at a toll booth and all of the chaos that ensued because of that. I'm not sure if the cell phone was to blame for that or not. It could have been Professor Friedland, but there are laws. He brought up that some municipalities are putting laws on cell phone use in cars. Is that what we have to start doing more of?
In my personal opinion, yes, absolutely. I confess that I started talking on my cell phone in the car, which is something that I said I would never do 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, me too, I confess.
And it's a very powerful draw. It's very hard not to do. You're driving in your car, and you want to be in contact with other people. You've got free time or whatever. But the problem is that I think common sense tells most of us that when people are driving and talking, especially if they're in a tense conversation, they're not paying as much attention to the road around them. And literally, I think sometimes, I don't know if other people have noticed this, but there's a kind of a head tilt almost when somebody's in a cell phone conversation and driving. Oftentimes, they're almost kind of looking down, kind of away from the road, so that they can concentrate on the conversation better. And it's clearly dangerous, but it won't be stopped by anything other than laws, I don't think.
Yeah. In the CNN article, you're quoted as saying that, you're doubtful that that this behavior will be reversed. You don't see it being reversed at this point. So it sounds like you're you think it's a losing proposition here, that we've got it and we've got to live with it.
I think that the cell phones are going to increasingly be used in all aspects of public life, if they're not already. I'm not sure how many more they could be used in. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of going into a bathroom, and, for example, and having someone having a loud cell phone conversation next to you. I mean, if you can have a conversation from there, you can have it from anywhere. And I don't think it's going to be rolled back. I mean, clearly there are important generational differences. As I said, my own son, generally he thinks, I hope he thinks that my research is pretty good, but on this particular area, he actually cringes because he thinks that, this is one of those areas where I just absolutely don't know what I'm talking about.
You just don't get it.
Yeah, and I'm embarrassing him in public too. So so basically, I think that there's a clear generational shift. I actually tell my students to shut off their cell phones before they come into my class and not to use them. And if they use them, then I'm going to tell them to leave. Mm-hmm. And usually they conform to that. Occasionally, they forget and I give them sort of one chance to turn it off, and then that's it. But it's very hard for them to do. You can tell that they want to be looking at their phone. They want to be checking their text messages almost all the time. So I don't think it's – I mean, I think it's one thing to say that those public norms are eroding, which they clearly are. But for young people, these aren't even – norms anymore. It's almost a different set of social norms altogether.
Yeah. Aaron in Lake Geneva, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to say I think that a lot of this is driven by society in general, and probably a lot of even those same people who are annoyed by these phone calls. I'm one of those people who avoids phone calls in public, and I get a lot of flack from people who are trying to call me for doing that, and they say, you know, oh, you know, how come you never answer your cell phone? How come you always have to call us back? And I think a lot of people don't, you know, would rather avoid that pressure from their friends and family and employers and whoever else. And even when you're the caller a lot of the time, and it annoys me if someone's on their phone, you know, ordering food or at the bank or something in line at the grocery store, it just drives me nuts. But I know even sometimes when I'm the person calling somebody, I'm thinking, come on, answer your phone. It's in your pocket. another thing, too, is that I think we don't have as much downtime in general in our lives anymore, and I think that people view what is their downtime differently. I think that now people view those small increments when you're standing in a line at the grocery store as downtime, when you can, you know, get these calls taken and worked out, and when you're in your car and other places. Thank you.
Yeah, interesting, huh, Professor?
That's actually a really good point. That this is literally redefining our sense of leisure right down to the minute or the part of the minute. There was a time when you could stand in line and maybe space out, collect your thoughts, you know, not use that time in a, quote, productive way, but sometimes that's useful as well. But now it becomes one more increment or unit of time in which you can, quote, get things done, even if those things are just making calls to your friends. So it does really, again, and that phrase by Professor Katz, perpetual contact, is a very good one. It's an always-on society, and so the expectation is that we can use our time more productively in every second, including making those extra calls that we didn't make, and also that somebody else can always reach us.
Yeah. And there is some pressure sometimes from coworkers or friends. Hey, you got to, you know, answer your phone when I call you.
I mean, part of it. I mean, there's a couple issues here. One is the sort of use of cell phones in public space and its effect on social norms. But the other is the productivity expectation, which we haven't really been talking about, but the caller brought up. I mean, there are many service workers who see their cell phone as sort of the high tech equivalent of a collar and ankle bracelet from the court, right? Where wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you can be reached by your boss or your company to always check on you, to always ask you to do one extra thing.
Right. In fact, let me bring in Jim in Superior before our weather break, because I think, Jim, that's your situation.
Yeah, it is. I'm an electrical contractor, and I get a lot of my business from people calling me on my cell phone. And, I mean, if I'm sitting at a restaurant and a customer calls me, you know, if I can, I'll walk outside. Usually I do, but I have to talk to them. You know, I'm not going to lose a job because some guy next to me, it bothers him a little bit because I'm talking on the phone.
There we go.
Right. Well, I mean, I understand that that more and more people's businesses are related to the cell phone, but Jim, I don't know what his restaurant norms are, but I think that there's also a big difference between taking a call loudly as if you're in essentially a private cell phone booth, which is a rapidly disappearing amenity, but or stepping outside. If you have to take the call, you have to take the call. I think it's mostly a question of where are you and how are you affecting those around you while you're doing it.
Yeah. We are talking with Lou Friedland, professor of journalism and mass communication and affiliated with the Department of Sociology at UW-Madison, talking about how high-tech gadgets and our use of them, especially in public places, is affecting our society and the use of these gadgets, how it's maybe deteriorating our public life. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7, Republican U.S. Senator and social conservative Larry Craig is in trouble for following his arrest in a Minneapolis airport bathroom for lewd behavior. We are going to talk with a guest, Nick Gillespie, who is the editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, who hopes that Republicans will now re-embrace small government and get government out of our bedrooms. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about whether all the new high-tech gadgets are making us a ruder society, whether the use of cell phones and other high-tech gadgets in public is making our public life a little worse. How many times have you heard somebody talking loudly on their cell phone at the park or at the grocery store or in line at the bank? Is there anything that can be done about this, or is this just the norm now? 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. Peggy in Brilliant is with us now. Hi, Peggy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to share a theory that I've been listening to. I've heard other shows too on public radio about the cell phone controversy and agreed with most of it, except that just in the last couple of years, I got a cell phone. And before I give you my theory, I found it to be pretty handy to have it. I always wondered why women would walk around a grocery store talking to their husbands on the phone, but now when I get to the point where I don't know what to buy or forgot what we need, it's handy to have it.
Uh-huh.
So in some ways I could see where it would be handy, but the one thing that my theory that I have is this, is that a lot of this is sort of like a fad, and I've seen it with our kids. We raised 5 kids, and I've seen it as the youngest ones got older and needed cell phones. Now those same kids aren't that interested in the cell phone anymore as they get like 19 and 20 years old. And I'm seeing that slowly wearing off, even with, like, older teenagers that I've worked with. I've seen that slowly get, like, an old thing now. Like, if you don't have a razor or this and that, it really doesn't matter anymore. But at first, oh, you had to have the fanciest phones, and you had to have this, and you had to have all these extras that went along with it. And I'm starting to see that go back to the old generic phones, like it's okay to have just a generic phone.
You are noticing that. Are you noticing that, Professor Friedland?
I hate to say it, but no.
Yes.
I think the caller's right in the sense that it does become normal, certainly among not just teenagers, but among a lot of people, having to have the latest, best, fanciest, newest gadget is an important thing. So a cell phone, like any other object, can be a status symbol, and teenagers like to have, you know, something that's new and cool. And in that sense, that may be true, that need wears off. But young people, 18 to 24, 18 to 33, are just adapting cell phones, and not just adapting the use of them, but using them in new ways. That marks a significant generational shift. And I don't think that that's going to go backward at all. In fact, it's just going upward and outward every year.
Yeah, it's funny. Go ahead, Peggy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Do you think it would just... My fiancé and I have sat in Perkins and watched the teenage crowd come in. It's just terrible. You can't even have a dinner in there. And I'm wondering why there just can't be, like, certain things that say... There's a sign outside the door that just says you need to leave your cell phone off. I mean, I can't see why that 1 hour to eat is really going to be that difficult for them to go without their cell phone.
I think that there's, I mentioned earlier on in the hour, Lee Humphreys, who's a new associate lecturer in communication arts at the UW, and she's really studied young people's cell phone behavior in much greater depth than I have, and I don't want to speak for her or speak for her research, but it's wonderful work that basically shows that there's an almost a kind of compulsion to be tied into your network at any given time. It's like I've got to see and be seen by all of my friends all the time, and that's what text messaging, as even more than calling, allows you to do. You can constantly be tracking who's going where are you now, and that kind of sort of constant checking, not just on people but on their location. It's a way of hanging out together in virtual space, and it does, I think, create a kind of, once you begin doing it. It is a kind of compulsion. I mean, because if you opt out of that, you're not just opting out of text messaging or calling at any given moment. You're kind of opting out of your friendship network. It's kind of like you're leaving yourself alone in the virtual corner.
Yeah. And
yes.
And Peggy, I have to admit, I'm guilty of it too. I just used my cell phone the other day at the store because I forgot the grocery list, and I wanted to check with my husband to remember what he had put on it. And that's something I would have rolled my eyes at, a couple of years ago, somebody else doing it, and here I was doing it.
Yep.
And, can I say something about that, Joe? I mean, I want to be really clear. I mean, cell phones, I use mine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredibly useful object. I even, it's not just a useful object. I like talking to people on the cell phone. So for me, it's not a question of our cell phones good or bad. That's a
right.
silly question. We're using them and adapting them all the time as we do with any new technology. It's a question of sort of what are the norms of public space that we're going to maintain? How are we going to reset those boundaries? And in fact, now it's not a matter of setting them, but it's a matter of resetting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boundaries between public and private space have already eroded considerably.
Yeah, and this has deteriorated our public spaces, according to that article that you were quoted in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Stephanie in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This is a really wonderful conversation, and I love my cell phone, and I'm a 57-year-old techie. I'm very pretty young at heart because I love the latest gadgets and ways you can use cell phones. So with that being said, I have just two things I want to mention. First of all, I hope that maybe we can all learn to really show some restraint as far as when to answer your cell phone, because it will otherwise create another source of making you scattered and stressed out. And if if your friends give you a hard time, pressure you, well, why didn't you answer your phone? You just simply say, look, I wasn't at a place where I could do it. You know, I would like to be able to talk with you, really enjoy talking with you and give you, the attention that the conversation deserves. You can just leave a voicemail, and I know on my phone, I have a little signal thing that you can personalize your phones, it will tell you, what your voicemail, like a voicemail tone. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've learned the hard way not to answer my phone. I was at the doctor's office one time, and I was really stressed out, and my husband was bugging me about something that was really trivial, and I lost it, and I was mortified. I mean, I really lost my temper with him, and they came and got me out of the waiting room right away for my appointment. But the other thing I want to mention is...
You mean when you answered the cell phone, your husband annoyed you, and then you started yelling at him over
Exactly, and I was horrified. I mean, I was so stressed out that I was having some very serious problems, and... I said, you're, and I started, not only yelled, but I started to curse him out.
Oh.
And I was just, oh my God.
Well, you did get your appointment test.
And the staff knows me, and they were super, super nice. Cause I was just, I apologized. I said, I am so sorry. That was so rude. And I felt sorry for the people out in the waiting room, but the other thing is ringtones. You can make your cell phone less annoying or intrusive by the kinds of ringtones that you choose. I happen to have some ones that actually people hear them and they laugh out loud. I have a laughing baby on my ringtone.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. Stephanie, I have to jump in because we're running short on time. I have a coworker who has a kitty meowing, which, maybe is cute to some but annoying to others. Professor Friedland, any comments on Stephanie's theories?
Well, I mean, for one thing, it's true that actually you do have one does have the option of not answering a phone, and you can turn it off. And I think that more and more we don't quite realize that you can actually push the off button and people, it'll be in there for voicemail for you an hour or 10 minutes later, whenever it is. I mean, that's a simple fact, but it's hard to realize that you cannot use it. But I mean, I think the example of the waiting room example is a good one, and it's one that I think a lot of us have experienced, maybe yeah. from the other end, more and more frequently. Yeah.
In our final minute, Professor Friedland, how do we start to reset the boundaries to protect our public spaces from this?
I wish I had a simple answer to that, but I do think three things. First of all, there are laws and rules, like not talking on a cell phone when you're in a car and driving. It's dangerous. Or having no cell phone cars on trains, which are becoming more popular. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing is sort of to actually use your power to enforce social norms in public. And if somebody's talking to you and basically then turns away to take a phone call, to tell them, I'm sorry, I think that's not really very polite. And I think a lot of people don't actually quite understand that at this point. So just simply bring it to people's attention is important. And the third thing is to, again, regulate your own behavior, which is a problem for all of us, including me. I mean, it's very easy to fall into all kinds of things and bad habits and to try to make sure that you don't do what you don't want other people to do to you.
Great ideas. Thanks very much for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Lou Friedland, Professor of Journalism, Mass Communication, and affiliated with the Department of Sociology at UW-Madison. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.